Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 243, part 2, the conclusion to eternal life. Today is Sunday, April 22nd, 2012.
Are you willing to lose your reputation? Are you willing to be slandered? What are you willing to give up? You won't be happy really until you give it all to Jesus Christ. Why not? Why not? Why not give up all your misery? Are you miserable today? Maybe there's some part you have to give up. Some miserable little part of your reputation. I like the way you smile. I like the way Oh, no, you can't take that away from me. Oh, no, you can't take that away from me. Huh? They actually say, I follow Jesus, and they're not ashamed. They admit it. Have you ever been around someone that's ashamed of you? Sometimes kids are ashamed of their parents. Maybe you just got off work, see, and there's a PTA meeting or something like that, and you say, Daddy, I want you to come to PTA. I want you to come to see me in the play and everything. Well, honey, I don't get off until that very hour. And everybody's all dressed up and they have their ties on and they're walking in to see their little childrens and they get in there and here comes Dad. Man, where did you crawl out of a garbage can? No, I just got off of work. Huh? That kind of strikes home, doesn't it? Sometimes we are embarrassed of our parents, aren't we? I'll never forget years ago, and my mother broke me of it right away. It didn't last but one time. My dad came in, and he spoke very broken English. And he thought that the president of the high school, to them in the old country, the president or the principal of the high school was like the president of the United States, the principal. No, years ago, you know, the principal. And so he came, and not only did he talk broken English, he didn't know what to do with this principal. And I was standing there, and I was so embarrassed, and I got outside, and my mother said, were you ashamed of your dad? No, she says, I want you to answer that question. Were you ashamed of him? And then I started to kind of get feeling kind of guilty, and I said, well, Mom, he just kind of carried on and he almost bowed down and licked the man's feet. God, I mean, he's just the principal. He's somebody to throw gumballs at. Blow beans at. Did you ever do that when you were in school? Blow beans at the principal? You take this little pea shooter, they call it, little half piece. I had the most swollen hands. Because they were always beating my hands with a ruler. That's what they used to do years ago. And even when I didn't do it, they got beaten. Were you ever ashamed of your parents? Are you ashamed of your Heavenly Father? Well, he says, don't be ashamed of me. I won't be ashamed of you. Are you? You listening on the radio? Are you ashamed of your parent? You know, I'm not an easy parent to have myself. Sort of radical in a way. Hasn't been easy being my kids, has it? Kids? Debbie? Stevie? Julie? Cheryl? It's not easy to have a dad like me. I'm the only one you're ever going to have, so you might as well get used to it. Are we ashamed of our Heavenly Father? No, each one of us, saved by grace, we are not ashamed. He is our only leader. We are not ashamed. We take up the cross and we follow and we bear our cross. We take on, the Bible says, his name. And the Bible says they follow where I mark. My mark. God marked a spot down here for me. It was a big X mark. It happened one night. I was on this stage. It was only a little puny stage then. It came off this way in a half an octagon and that way in a half an octagon. And I was standing here. It was very cold. I had lost about, 400 people just by coming down here. And God marked off a spot. Shh, shh. This is your spot. I'm on the spot. I've been on the spot ever since I came down here. No, they follow where I mark. They are part of the flock, yet they are individuals. In the Greek it says, they, each one follow me. Listen to that, isn't that beautiful? They, each one, follow me. Plural, they, singular, each one. Each one saved by grace. Each one kept by grace. They follow a life of morality, integrity, holiness, mapped out by the shepherd. Oh, they falter, they fall. But next, what a great privilege we have. Jesus Christ saves us forever. Think on that today. Forever. Now, maybe you're a young person and you're listening and you say, well, you don't know what I'm into. Well, it doesn't matter what you're into. You're saved forever. You'll suffer consequences for choices that you're making. It won't be easy. The Bible says, no sheep of Christ Jesus will ever be lost. None that he has purchased with the blood and made his own shall want or wander away. So that he'll perish out there in the wilderness. And so what is the character of our life? Eternal life. That's our character. We eternal livers. Means you're going to live eternally. God, I don't know if I can stand living eternally. But not only does he give us eternal life, but we are always living because he's continually sustaining us, continually giving us the gift of life every day. Well, what does eternal mean? You preachers listening, what does eternal mean? Does anybody know what eternal means? Honey, do you know what eternal means? What's eternal mean? Do you know what that means? Anybody? Can you tell me what eternal means? What? Forever. Out of the mouths of babes. Forever. Can you receive that? Forever? What does eternal salvation mean? Oh, you preach that doctrine of eternal security, do you? That's right from the pits of hell, someone will say. Well, Jesus says, I come and I give you life, and I give you life eternal. And yet, you'll see some legal... See, sometimes... Us preachers can think we have all of the truth. And this is where it stops right here. And we'll have maps and charts, and we'll have creation charts, and we'll have all kinds of things. And then in the end, after all that, we'll say, well, you can be saved and you can be lost. I don't know exactly what line you got to pass over, but when you pass over that line, you're lost. What a thing to leave people with. Huh? What a thing to leave us with. All day long, you're careful, looking for a line someplace. Bible says, born of an incorruptible seed. That means it can't be corrupted. That means you can't corrupt it. You're serving an incorruptible God that gave you an incorruptible seed that's growing in a corruptible body. Your flesh is the clay, the dust, the dirt that the seed of life is growing in. Christ Jesus growing in you. Well, then let's just call us fertilizer then. Let's call this body that is dying and passing away, let's call the covenant, the new covenant of Jesus Christ. The old, it says, is vanishing, passing away, the Old Testament, the law. And the seed of life, Jesus Christ, has taken over. And that seed in the New Testament is placed within your sinful body, your dirt. And it's incorruptible. Your body can't corrupt it. Your mind, now you get a seed up here, a seed of corn. Do you think that you can think that into being a pea? Ooh, try as you may. Can you say words over it? Become a pea. Become a pea. You are not corn. You are not corn. How many times do I have to tell you you're not corn? Oh, I'm just going to dig a hole and bury you. Oh, go ahead. What's going to come up? What's going to come up, honey? Corn. On the what? Cob. 30, 60, 90 of them. Isn't that a beautiful message? The incorruptible seed, hallelujah! Born of an incorruptible seed, the life of God, it says in the Bible, imparted by the Holy Ghost, must live forever. And the Word of God is referenced to old corn. And so the gift is continuous. It is always being freely given, every day. Isn't that a wonderful message? No, listen, the life of Jesus Christ gives. It doesn't dwindle away in 3 weeks. Well, he got saved 3 weeks ago, and look at him. Now he's a pea pod. No, that kernel of corn is still growing within that sinful man. And it says, if any man say he be without sin, he is a liar, and there is no truth in him. I mean, Jesus isn't living in there. Well, that's the truth you have, Jesus Christ. Let every man be a liar, let God be true. You know what truth we have? The truth we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. No, it lasts forever. You're not born again and again and again and again and again. Sometimes people think you've got to be born again. People are busy paddling up to the altar. I mean, they'll go out. Okay, and I've seen it. I've been to these things, and listen, and I've watched them fleece people. I have watched them milk them. I mean, over their pots and throw, it's milking is what's called. And so here's a person back here. I seen a lady. She had like 8 kids, and she had a tattered old dress on and everything, you know, and the Spirit of God was moving and so on like that, and this guy laid a trip on her. Now, I knew she had been born again about 50 times. Okay? And so as soon as there's certain key words that you can mention to people, and they think they got to paddle their flesh up to the altar and get born again. And they go weeping up to the altar. Weeping, crying, crawling. I mean, barely making it up there, crawling. That's me! Now, it's all right to be repentant. But how about giving someone else a chance at the altar? Hey! You've already been saved. How many times do I have to save you? Yeah, but I fell. Now I got to be born again. Sometimes people think because they sin, they got to be born again. Well, smoked a cigarette. Might as well have a whole pack. They line their whole face up with it. Might as well go out in the blaze of glory. because of sin. I mean, if this were the case, we would, I think, spend most of our time in the maternity ward. With people looking in. Can you imagine people looking in at a 200-pound baby? In a bassinet? Can you imagine me with a little bonnet on and these whiskers, this bald head, my legs hanging over the sides of the bassinet? Huh? And a little blanket there in diapers? Well, who is this little one here? Oh, this is Pastor Paul. He's being born again. Wow, goodness, look at the size of that bassinet. And look at that head and those feet. I mean, do you have to be coochie coochie cooed all the whole of your life? You have to have people being looking in. See, sometimes we do it for an attention getter. Well, there he is. See, we like that flair of that. Well, now you're born again, and now, okay. And we like that first little thing there, so we like all this attention from people, see? So you'll see the same people going up there again, you know, and crying at the altars again, you know, like God could not do a complete job on them. You understand? Like he made some kind of a mistake. And now they're not really, 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 really saved. And we have preachers that preach that. So people are confused. Well, how long do you think Pastor Paul will stay alive this time? Oh, it's hard to say. So don't use him at all. He might die on you any minute. Can't tell. Why preach this temporary salvation? No, people, Jesus did a complete work. Complete in every manner, shape, and form. The ticket takes you all the way to heaven. Not a quarter of the way to heaven. How'd you like to be raptured one quarter of the way? Huh? Hung up in some kind of an Adam cloud. I give unto my sheep eternal life. Not, I give unto my sheep a quarter at a time. And besides, how can you make eternal life anything different? I had a guy call me one time and he says, you know what? This is a dangerous doctrine. The doctrine of eternal security. Well, I said, I would rather minister the free grace and the love of Jesus Christ in its entirety and be a self-made, self-righteous ignoramus. Good day. No, I said to one person, I says, I'll tell you something. I believe it's more dangerous to tell them that they can be lost once found. Now you've been found, be careful. Don't go out there and get lost again. What a word. What a word. How many people have gone insane? And sometimes backsliders use this as an excuse. Well, I started backsliding, so here I am. How many have gone to the insane wards over this legalistic jargon? How many, I wonder, have committed suicide because they have a very tender conscience? How many have stopped believing because they didn't believe they were born again? No, I must not be. A man came in the other day. Oh, this was terrible. Came in the other day and his eyes were just bags under his eyes. Horrible, terrible bags, black bags. I hadn't seen him in a few weeks. And he came in and he says, well, brother, I've been out to Anoka out there. And, you know, he says, I think I really totally lost it. They thought I was nuts because I started preaching about Jesus Christ out there. And I said, no, I'm not crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I am not. I'm trying to give up this smoking. I can't give up this smoking, he said. I really want to give up this smoking, but I can't give this smoking up, brother. I don't know. Now, this was a man. I'm telling you, this guy has talents. Who put doubt in that man's head? I said, brother, the angels in heaven don't give one holy grunt about you smoking that cigarette. And if you get yourself from underneath the law and say, God, will you help me with this? And then forget about it. Just totally forget about it and go on. Don't keep your attention. Whatever gets your attention gets you. If giving up cigarettes has got your attention, you'll never give them up. And the guy was ready for the basket. Who had ministered to him? God, I thought, man, what happened to you? I said, do you believe this? I mean, who's talked to you and made you feel this unworthy? The Bible says Jesus Christ has made you righteous. I mean, past tense, he made you that way. How many people are committing suicides right now? Because they think that they've let God down. We all have missed the mark. All, it says, have missed that mark. God, I mean, we need to get back to realistic preaching here. We're in trouble. And now I see, and that's why I said in the first that we're going to get into a, okay, let's get right with God. And you're going to get some fanatics up there. Then you're going to get so heavy laws on people. See, you know what makes you change? The love of God. The law of God has passed. The Bible says you are no longer under judgment. You don't live under the law. And the life that you now live, you live in Jesus Christ. The faith walk is Jesus. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in man. Man, you have faith in man, he's going to let you down. Now, you smoking again? You know what God thinks of that, don't you? Now, you get your filthy self out of here. Go on. No, I don't want to see you in this place. That nasty yellow fingers and them old yellow teeth of yours. Ooh, brother, 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 brother. Yeah! Some of these crazy people, see? Well, you can say, you know what? God will help you with them cigarettes. Don't worry about them. Let them be the first thing you think about in the morning. With trembling fingers sitting down there and thinking God's looking in your window. Huh? I said, just pray for somebody while you're smoking that cigarette, and it'll leave you. Get your attention on somebody else out there that needs a hand. Help somebody out there. Get your mind off yourself and get them on the mind. You know the mind of Christ is? When you have the mind of Christ is always thinking about somebody else. So when you're helping someone else, you're really helping Jesus Christ. Were you when I was a sick and a prisoner and a widowed, or were you when I was a hungered, means exactly that. When you're looking at someone else that's in misery and pain and so on like that, I don't care what shape they are in spiritually, and let's just get done with that right now. It doesn't matter. You're looking at the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Wherever there's suffering, Jesus Christ is there. That's where he's at. I don't care if it's in a king's palace and that king is suffering. I don't care if it's down here in the hobo jungle. If there's a person suffering down there and he's crying out, God's with him. I just hope this man didn't go out and blow his brains out. God, I hope he doesn't just go crazy and blow his brains out. Well, would he be saved if he killed himself? Would you love your child if he blew his brains out? Or would you say, you were never a child of mine? That's another question people get into. Now, if a person commits suicide, would they ever go to heaven? I'm not telling you to go out and blow your brains out so you can make it there quickly. There'll be consequences for a choice in doing that, too. And God will speak to you, but I think a person that is not really in their right mind when they do that, God certainly hears that moan and that sigh when the gun goes off. Now, I really believe that, and I believe when Saul put himself on this. Well, he stood just like this. He, you know, come on, chop me up. His sword got broke, or it knocked out of his hand, and another one was thrown to him, and he just put his body there and he fell on. Was he saved? You better believe he was. Do you think people can get crazy enough to do themselves in? Does God still love them? Oh, I don't know what kind of God some people are serving, but I know my God still loves them. You think about that. You think about all these creeps that are out there ministering to people and getting them off the track and getting them so that they condemn themselves. The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, and yet we have ministry going on where people are condemned. Cast out. I'm not saying there isn't a time when people turn their backs on us, but there is a time when Jesus says, okay, now that's enough. Turn around. You know what kind of punishment that is? I remember my mother, she just wouldn't talk to me. Oh, it'd be like 5 or 10 minutes, you know, or a half a day. Boy, was I glad when she started talking to me again. Sometimes God is silent too, but he has not left you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Never. I don't know. See, the more I live, the more I know the love of God. I mean, it's just there, and it's just evident, isn't it? Maybe I don't look too good. Maybe my speech is atrocious. They said that about Paul. Man, that's an ugly little man. And his speech, it's from nowhere. Okay, now I'm going to close this. Children of God, hear his voice. You'll stay out of danger that way. And remember the promises. A lot of times will convict our hearts. But also they are safe. Because you know why? Injuries are prevented. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I guess I'm never going to argue about salvation. I'm never going to argue about a finished work. Jesus said, that's it. It's finished. The work that I was sent to do is finished. And then he goes farther and he says, his people are kept by the power of God. Who can separate us, it says, from the love of God? Can a weak man-made doctrine separate us? Can the devil separate us? The Bible says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him unto that day. It also says, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until that day of Jesus Christ, until that last coming. And so you are safe in the hands of Jesus Christ. Know that. Feel the joy of it, you out there that are despondent right now. You out there that are in despair right now, know that. Know that you can feel the joy of it, the peace of it. I had a guy call me the other day, and just briefly, I'll share this. Sure, you say that, but you know something? I'll sin all the more if I know that I'm kept eternally and I have joy and peace. And I said, well, what is the fruit of all this? Fruit of the of a spiritual being. Righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. I said, how utterly stupid. Don't you know that his changeless love always drawn on you? And he says, oh, Pastor Paul, I think if I were you, I'd play it safe and tell your hearers that they can be overcome by sin and perish. I said, I can't do that. And he says, why not? I says, I don't believe that. I said, do you shoot your children when they disobey? Do you throw them into darkness and say, I've had it with you, get out? If I was to tell you, young people sitting here in this front row here, if you fail, if you sin, if you make a mistake, your dad will never speak to you again. Would you believe me? No, you wouldn't believe me because you know your father. You know his love, you respect his discipline, and you want to obey him. You don't always do it. But what if I sin, you say? Well, he'll deal with us, and he'll chasten us, and he'll restore us. But also, his sheep love to obey him. Well, I don't preach that there's a 4-lane highway to heaven. No, It says there's a narrow gate, and narrow is the path that leads therein. But you know, glory to God, when you enter in to that very low gate and that very narrow road, you have to leave a lot of excess baggage behind you. No, I don't preach that at all. I preach that into His hands let us commit our spirits. You out there maybe on the radio are thinking about becoming born again. You'll be eternally saved. And how does that happen? The Bible says if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Now, there's a salvation message here, and I'm closed. I'm done. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? You can know Him today. And once you know Him, He knows you. It isn't like He forgets about, oh yeah, forget you. Anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, do you know the Lord? Okay. How about you ladies? Sorry, just to interrupt you for just a minute. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Okay. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. And I'm glad you were here because you were a couple little sponges. You sucked it right up, see? Preachers need that too, you know that? Sometimes you get up and preach and that, boy, it hits them old walls and bangs you right in the head again. But see, that's the message we've got to preach out there is the love of God. And obeying God sometimes isn't all that. Sometimes there's sacrifices to be made, but it's great because it builds character in us. And how you doing? God bless you. I'm sure glad that you're involved in church here. And, you know, great things are happening in your life. Yeah, aren't they? You know, unity is a great thing, and I think the North Side has become unified. It's getting that way more and more and more. There's unity in the North Side. And I think that the North Side, I would really pray this, that they would say, it says, they'll be persuaded by the love. Behold how they love one another. It's encouraging to me to be down here. I had a rebel, and he was a black man, but he was just total, you know, rebel, like white rebel or red rebel, but he just happened to be a black man. He was a rebel. And he just did not like me for, oh, golly, the years I've been down here. Finally, he came up and says, you know what? He says, you're the first white man I like. Well, I said, God, man, if you can like me, you can love all the white men. I'm not easy to get along with sometimes. And I said, you started out right. Now you're going home free. I said, okay. Oh, God bless all you people that are here today. And I certainly enjoyed having Steve here for the last time. Steve, you can go on. You get out there. Keep it simple. I mean, you know, you're going to hear, you know, sometimes people try to be, Steve has never been brought up that way, though. Just keep it simple.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 243. That was part two, Eternal Life. Be sure to listen to all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. Part one is every Friday, and part two is every Sunday. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next Friday for Fruitless Vines. You don't want to be one of them. God bless you.